Well, time flies when we're having fun, so it's time to start our service here. And all you online there, and I wish everybody a happy, 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 happy Father's Day. Amen? Yeah, it's a special day. I'm gonna preach a little message on that, but it's a very, very important subject. You don't probably realize how important it is. Okay, so Father, we thank you for this awesome day that we can celebrate, Lord. Father, we give you praise and honor and glory. And Lord, it's so awesome to know you as our Father. My, oh my. I just love that song that says, Father me. And he knows how to father us. Amen. If there ever was anybody, it's him. He knows how to father us a lot better than our earthly fathers. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this awesome day that we can serve you and celebrate. Bless everyone here that came to worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody want to get the flag for us? it's Father's Day, and I thought today we should focus on just being thankful for our Father in heaven. Amen. Singing about Him. Some of us don't have our dad anymore, but we have a Heavenly Father, and He never, never, never forgets us.
And I have seen you walk through some dark valleys. But my love has never left. So reach out your hand and take mine. And I'll lead you out of the darkest valley. For my love never fails. It'll see you through. You gotta put your hand in His hand. Oh Lord, we trust you with our darkest night. You're faithful to the. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, welcome to the house this morning. I don't know where everybody went off to, but I trust they're having a good time wherever they are. We bless them in the name of the Lord. So not every day we have somebody come all the way from Ontario to our church be here. So welcome, Mark. Good to have you in the house. Amen. I came from Ontario one time, too. Back in 1960. So I want to welcome our online watchers, people that are watching online, and trust that they heard everything that was said because it was so good. Good news. Amen. If you haven't signed the petition that's out on the table, please do that for me, and I'm going to send them off this week to our MP, Member of Parliament. This is a day that Ardella, who isn't with us because she's been, you know, laid up, but she turns 88 today. So if you, 88. So if you get a chance to give her a call, she's got her family. I mean, they're partying. They're all there. And then this week, Leo is going to be 3, Mary's little grandson. Yes. And Randy has a birthday. I don't even know how young he is, but let's sing to Randy. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. So that's on Friday, I believe. So maybe, just have a blessed time, Randy. And so I have one thing I need to do. I want the dads in the house to stand up. The fathers in the house to stand up. Come on, Leonard. That's you too. If you just come up here just along the front here, we're going to just pray a blessing over you. And got a little something to give you. Okay, Mary, would you like to pray a blessing over the fathers?
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Father, that you know each one by name. Lord, you know, God. Lord, from the moment they were in their mother's womb, Lord, you've known them. Lord, you called them by name and you called them, God, for such a time as this. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for those things that you have, Lord, for each one. God, I pray, Lord, that they would be blessed, that God, whatever they put their hands to, that God, that it would turn into gold, it would turn into blessings. Father, I pray you will strengthen them, God, that you will give them courage. I pray, Father God, that, Lord, whatever, Lord, you have placed on the inside, that, God, they're not going to leave this land, but, God, they're going to pass on that legacy, oh, God, of who you are, Father, to their children and to their children's children. And, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would give them the peace of God. And, Lord, I declare and decree, let their latter end be greater than their former. Lord, I thank you, Father. I just strengthen them. Father, I pray you will strengthen them. Father, both physically, mentally. I thank you, God, for whatever was accomplished on the cross of Calvary. That, God, that, Lord, it is theirs today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So Mary has a little gift for you. So just, they came from Dairy Queen, Booster Juice, and Tim Hortons. So Anyway, maybe step out of the box. Try something different. Praise the Lord. So I just wonder if there is anybody that has something they want to share this morning in a testimony. Now's your opportunity.
Okay, hello. Anyhow, last night I was around 11:30, 12 as I went to bed. I was really stirred in my spirit, and I rolled around, I tossed, wanted to sleep, couldn't. And I knew I needed to fellowship with my Father in heaven. So I started to worship God, get into His presence, into that secret place. And He gave me a little word, and with all the love songs and everything about love, I wrote this last night. And it's too smart for me, so I knew it was the Holy Ghost. And He said to me, to know the love of God you must know. And I pondered that, because so many people, you know, well, God, show me your love. And see, the more I study the Word and see the love of God manifest through Jesus, the more God reveals His sweet presence to me. And it's like a never-ending circle. The more I seek, the more He responds to me in this secret place of the Most High. And, it, you know, as a father, it's a wonderful thing. As Father God for us, it's a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Oh, probably a month and a half ago, I took a tumble over backwards, and the only thing to stop me was my arm, and it took a heavy blow. I mean, I sat stunned there for probably 15 minutes before I even dared try, and I had praise the Lord. I knew nothing was broken, nothing was torn. I stood on the word because He said, by His stripes I'm healed. There was, in the days following, I couldn't open a door. There was such a weakness and a pain, like intense pain. And I stood on the word. I mean, I always sleep with my hair up because, you know, it gets too hot otherwise. And I mean, I couldn't do those simple tasks. And I'm left-handed, and this is my left hand. And I mean, but I was determined, by His stripes I'm healed, and I was trying to shovel. Of course, I'm using this arm quite a lot. Well, I got Margaret actually prayed for me. We went out one night and we had a great time, and she prayed because I said, well, I can't even put my hair up, you know, because you have to use both hands. And I went home after she prayed for me, and even though there was pain and weakness, that's the one thing I could do is immediately put my hair up. And then the other day, again, I was in a lot of pain, but I wasn't, you know, I was just standing on the word. I was, you know, anyways, Mary said, we've got to pray for you. And I'll tell you, it was like a 50% improvement, like right away. I could do a lot more. There was still pain. The third time, Jerry came to town, and he ended up praying for me. And a day and a half later, I noticed I have absolutely no pain, and my arm is strong. And but I give all glory to God. But He used three people to give total healing. Thanks,
the Lord. Anybody else have something you want to share? Oh, I'm supposed to, you do?
Oh, I'm trying to read lips down there. They're trying. Somebody's right beside me.
Anyway, I do have a praise report because, well, all of what Mary said is just so right on. Mm-hmm. We can only love God because He loves us first. But His word is true. He has given us so much in the scriptures that we can depend on, and God is not a liar. He tells you the truth. And because of the word of God, I stand here saying Jessica, our granddaughter, is totally healed.
Even right now, she is being restored to fullness of life in Jesus' name. And I proclaim that. I know many of you have, though you don't know her, you've been praying for her. And by sight, we don't walk. We walk by faith in the Word of God, because it's true, and every man is a liar that comes and says opposite to what the Word says. So by faith, and because God has given us that faith to walk in, we say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We glorify you for that healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, Andrea, are you going to come do the... Are you coming up, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I'll do that one first. So for testimony, Nathan and I have found a place out in Silver Creek that it's a two-bedroom place for $1,200. Our utilities, which is awesome. We're able to still save and all that kind of stuff because the place we're living in is selling. They're selling the place. So it's just been an answer prayer, because there is nothing out there. And by the time you even get to talk to them, it's already a done deal and gone. So we were able to find a place, so that's awesome.
I'm going to let Andrea do the offering now.
So if we could go to Leviticus 27:30. Sorry, I'm really nervous, guys. I'm going to try my best here. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And so I'm going to go and just get the meaning of holy. So holy means sacred, pure, blameless, consecrated, separated, properly revered, and worthy of veneration. And so when we give our first fruits in tithe, it makes it holy and makes like everything else holy. And when something is holy, the devil cannot touch it. The devil can't touch our finances if we give our first fruits to the Lord. And when something's holy, it thrives, it grows, it multiplies. And where it says in Malachi, it says, let's just go to Malachi 3:10. I'm having trouble finding Malachi. Right at the end. Yes, it is. So when we give our first fruits, it makes it holy, which makes it thrive, grows, and multiplies. And it says that in Malachi 3:10, where it says, bring all the tithe into your storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I would not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, which is what I said, the devil can't touch something that is holy. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And I think, like, when you put your first fruits or tithe, it's like having a root in the tree. If your roots are good, your tree is good and going to produce fruit. Or like a foundation in your house, if your foundation's not good, it's not going to produce, it's not going to bring good. But if your foundation is good, then your house is stable. And when you give, you're proclaiming that God is alive. And then people can see the blessing, people can see that, and see that God is alive through your tithe and your first fruits. Psalms 52:8. It says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good." And I just really like that verse, because it was just saying being planted in the house and giving to the house. You're like a green olive tree. So I just pray for the tithe. So Father God, I just want to thank you for today. Thank you for this house. Thank you for the finances you give us, Father God, through whatever means, Father. And I just thank you because you're our provider. And that's one of the things of giving back, is so that we honor you and worship you, Father God. So I just thank you for today and this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm sorry I didn't mention one important prayer request. Marilla had to go to the hospital last night. I'm not sure what's happening. Her daughter asked for prayer. So it's got something to do with her heart and her blood pressure. So just remember, keep Marilla in your prayers. She was here last Sunday for the first time in months. And here this happened. So we just trust the Lord that she'll be back next Sunday. Amen.
Okay, Father's Day message. Hallelujah. Do you know, we're celebrating Father's Day, but a lot of times we don't even know the importance of this day, of Father's Day. You know that prisons are the result of people that lost their father. They got abandoned by their father. And the prisons are full of them. That's the result. Is when, you know, when the children lose their fathers in one place. It said that a fatherless family is like a decapitated family, right? Because the head is gone, right? So how important this message is. I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm not going to go too long here, but to tell you that the power, the dad power, it carries with an awesome authority. We dads don't know the authority that God has given us. He's given us such an authority. And we fathers represent God. We actually represent God, you know, for our families. So we need the dad of our father. Our Father God, we need to be that kind of a dad. Hallelujah. We need more than to do like him. We need the power to be like him. We need to be like our Heavenly Father, right? The dad is supposed to be, the spiritual should be, he should be totally surrendered to God if he's going to succeed in that role as a father, right? If we're totally surrendered to him, if we're abandoned to him, then you'll see the fruit of that family. You will see the fruit. But now we have the result of abandoned families. You know, it all starts when they're young. Right? And pretty soon they don't even have an identity. Men and women, they don't have an identity of who they are. They've lost their identity. Because the one that was supposed to, he was supposed to give them identity is gone. And so the result is a decapitated family. But that could only be just a little while. Not that that's going to be forever, right? So children nowadays are victims of abandonment, where the father has abandoned the family. And so who's left? Mother. So now mother is carrying the load because of what dad should be carrying. He's no longer there. So mom is trying to fulfill that. There's so many in the world today, so many in the families that only have mom looking after the children, right? Moms can still instill moral and spiritual values in the children to some degree. But it will usually carry a different weight than what the fathers could give, right? They do the best they can, but they still are missing the head of the family. The way God designed it, right? God designed for us fathers to be the head. Yeah. The absence of dad, therefore, has resulted in a moral, social, spiritual, and economic decay in every society today. Can you imagine the amount of money the government would be saving, or the countries or whoever would be saving, you know, if the fathers were there? Because the fathers are in prison, right? And so now the government has to supply the funds for the prison, right? They're building new prisons all the time because the prisons are full. I'm sorry about just giving you a little bit of negative here. But there's a positive in this message, honest. There is. But the prisons are full of men that have had no father. They have had no leader in their life. No, they have lost their identity. Children need to be affirmed. Children need to be affirmed by their fathers. And if he's not there, there's no affirmation, right? There is not. We see the result these days in today's society. You know, children come to school, and you've heard it too, and they've been asking, who am I? Am I a male or am I a female? Well, why do you ask? Well, you know I'm a little girl, but I really, really like to play with little trucks. Maybe, and then maybe the leaders, or maybe even in school, the teacher will say, well, maybe, you know, you're tending to be a male, so maybe you're a male instead of a female. And so they get completely disjointed, and they lose their identity of who they are. And it all starts, because of no father guidance in their life. You know why homosexuality is developed? It consists of men who are looking for their father. And usually they will go to older men to find. They want to find their identity and love. So they go to older men, and that's how this homosexuality is developed, right? And the world, you know, instead of the world discouraging it, oh, they rejoice in it. So now what you have is gay pride, parades. You know, you hear it every day on the news. They have gay parades. Oh, they welcome, you know, everybody. And, you know, there's a lot of people. I don't know if you've ever seen it. In the parade, there's many, many people. And they're all worshiping, or they're all praising him. And the people on the stand, on the side, are just praising them. You know, oh, you're good. That's good. But they're all on the wrong stream, aren't they? Yeah. Because God is against that. God is against homosexuality. He is. He's so against it. So society needs healing. We need healing. We need the fathers. Of course, we're going to read that little later on in Malachi of what's happening. We need for God to sovereignly heal our father wounds and restore our relationships, right? And he does that, of course, by making us his sons. Only the dignity of sonship can overcome the shame of abandonment. They're all suffering from abandonment because dad has abandoned them, right? So they're searching. They're searching for the answers. But they don't know. And that's where the church comes in. They don't know that we have the answer, right? We have a different kind of a father. We have Father God, who's the father of the fatherless, like we were singing this morning. I love that song. That's one of my beautiful songs. The father of the fatherless. You know, of course, everything started in the garden. Everybody knows where Adam and Eve fell, right? So when they fell, and Adam fell, he lost his identity too. He didn't know really who he was till God had to restore him too. But God's greatest desire is, you know what? You know why he created us? He created us because he wanted us to be his friend. You say, well, You know, God doesn't need anybody. Yes, he does. He needs his people to love him. That's what he does. He needs his people to love him. That's what it's all about. That's why he created people. He wanted to create a people that would praise him and worship him and love him, and he could love them back. You see, it's not a one-way street, right? God said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish." Yeah. God first loved us. Not that we loved God first. He loved us first. Hallelujah. So that is the reason why God created us. He wanted us to worship him. Right? God longs and desires to have fellowship with us. That's what it's all about. You know, and so many times, so many religions and stuff, they don't even touch that. That the whole thing is about God wanting to love us. And, you know, and he wanted to get close to us. So the one way he got close to us was by sending his Son, Jesus. So he sent Jesus, born into the world, right? He says, now I'll be able to get closer to creation. I'll be able to get closer to my people that I've created. So he sent his Son, yeah, to die. Hallelujah, for our sins. In Matthew 22:37-40, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind." That's how I want to be loved. And that's what Jesus told the woman at the well. She said, "The Father is looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth." Right? That's the ones, because they were discussing where we should worship God, right? Maybe we should worship God on this mountain, or should we worship God in this church? And then Jesus said, "No, you need to worship the Father. The Father is looking for those. And I hope he has found you to worship him in spirit and in truth." Hallelujah. And you know, that's what the day of Pentecost was all about too. God sent down his Holy Spirit. Right? So now, after we get filled with the Holy Spirit, now we can worship him in spirit. Oh, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like worshiping God in the spirit. It's better than any other love in this world. I don't know if you felt the love. I know most of you have felt the love of God. You know, when you start speaking in that heavenly language, and you don't have to speak very long, and pretty soon his presence comes in, right? And we worship him, and we worship him, and we praise him. And then we sense his love, right? All of a sudden, we sense his love so great. My, oh my. It'll bring us, his love is so great in my life. I worship the Lord every morning. I get into his presence. But, you know, every time I get into his presence, I think he starts to call me a ball baby. Because every time I get into his presence, water starts running from my eyes. Because God's love is so overwhelming, isn't it? His love is so overwhelming. My whole body, my system can't take it. His love is so awesome. So if we've been here this morning and we've never felt God's love, there's a way to the truth and the life. My, oh my, we can enter into his presence. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, he not only gives us love, and now he's giving us everything else, right? Now we've received even his inheritance. So everything that belongs to God now belongs to us, his church. My, oh my, we are just loaded with benefits. My, oh my. And someday when we get to glory, we'll realize, whoo, wow. You mean I own all that, Lord? Yep, it's all for you. It's all for you. I did it all for you. Hallelujah. So God loves us unconditionally. Did you know that? With God, there's no conditions. Jesus paid everything, all the conditions, all the requirements. Jesus paid it all on the cross. They're all paid for. We don't owe him anything but our love. That's what he wants. He wants our love. Unconditional love. Titus 3:4 says that. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And then Colossians 2:14 says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. So now there's no more requirements to get into God's presence. Or there's no more requirements to receive God's love. You know, many religions, they try to appease God, right? They try to be such and such persons to do it. To do all the regulations and all the requirements. They're trying to appease God, so maybe God will meet them halfway. Or maybe God will kind of, you know, will he extend the scepter to us? He did. He extended God's, extended his scepter to us through Jesus, right? Yeah, all we have to do is receive. All we have to do is receive. So Colossians 2:13 says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So in Jesus, there's no more requirements for us. No more requirements. Jesus paid it all, right? Did you know that God wants us as much as we want him? God loves us as much as we think we love him. But we cannot, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot properly love God. We can't. When we receive the Holy Spirit, then you worship him in spirit and in truth, right? And then all of a sudden you'll know how much God loves you, because it's spirit to spirit. That's the only way to really know God's love, is through his spirit. My, oh my. So we need to give him our life. John 15:9-16. Well, maybe we should even turn there. Let's go to John 15. Okay, John 15, where are you? 9 to 16. This is what it says. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. See, that's how much he loves us. He wants us to walk in his joy. He wants us to experience his joy, right? Yeah. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And here's the best part of it. Verse 16. He says, You didn't choose me, but I chose you. Isn't that reassuring? You didn't choose me. I chose you. And that is why you could come to me. Because I chose you. In other words, I extended my scepter to you. I extended my scepter to you. Yeah. That's what the king would do. The people that came in to require of the king, they had to stand way back, and they could not come to the king until he extended his scepter. Right. And he said, okay, come on. And so that's what you see, what happened when we accepted Christ. God extended his scepter to us. And you know, what followed after that was nothing but the king's blessings, right? The king's provisions were made known to this person. Okay, you've come to me, and now I'm going to bless you with the king's blessings. We have the best blessings in the whole world. We have the blessings of the King of Kings. Amen. We might not only partially realize that now, but someday when we meet him face to face, we will realize and see the blessings of God that he has given unto us. We will realize the inheritance that we have, right? We have a rich inheritance. Woo. And that's not only just going to last for a few days, but it's going to last forever and ever and ever. My, how could we refuse such blessings? My. So we need to tell the world that they can be so blessed. Okay, I was going to look up one more scripture here. And that one is found in Malachi, of course. And Andrea just about quoted it here. But this is kind of referring to the children and fathers. Amen. 5 and 6 of Malachi 4 says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So there's a dreadful day coming, right? It's coming. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. You see, there's a relationship that the fathers and their children have. You know, the responsibility lies on us fathers, doesn't it? It relies on us fathers. that we would not abandon our children, right? That we would refuse our children, but we would love them. And that's the only way that that curse that could come on the earth will be abated, right? Yeah. So let us as fathers be obedient. You know, if we know young people out there that are suffering from abandonment, and that should be our prayer. Lord, help us to find those that are suffering from abandonment. And so, Lord, that we may speak a word of restoration to them. Amen. And there's many out there, I tell you. Even the schools are full of them. Right now, a lot of them are being entertained by television. But, you know, they're giving them the wrong ideals, giving them the wrong way of life. But we, as Christians, have the word of life. We have the word of truth. And that's what we need to portray to the world, give the world, Lord, to the best of our ability. So, Father, I pray this day even, Lord, help us, Lord, and maybe direct us and show us to people that need you, Lord. Lord, even as adults, you know, you might be still suffering from abandonment, right? But we need no longer be suffering from that, because the Father God has drawn us close and He loves us so much. So we need to get that message out, right? Amen. And that's the end of my message. Thank you. God bless. Let's stand and we're going to close. But you know what we should do this morning? Let's love on Him a little bit. Because His presence is here. He's right here with us. Right? So let's yield to Him. Let's yield to His presence. Let's yield to His, you know, His love and His comfort this morning. I know Miss Max, she's got some awesome worship songs that we can worship Him this morning. Let's just for a few minutes draw close to Him. The Bible says that if we draw close to Him, He will draw close to us, right? So let's just a little bit, let's draw close to Him. You know, and we'll be surprised. All of a sudden, we'll sense His love and how we need His love, right? The whole world needs His love.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises as your people declare your mighty works. Blessed be the
sometimes we don't even know God loves us because we haven't really felt His love for such a long time. But the secret is that we need to come and love on Him. And you'll find out that love will come in and you'll begin to sense His love. You know, there's nothing important that should hold us back from loving God. Because is that what the Word says? That God is love. Love is God. Amen? So what else is important in this world? There's nothing but God's love that's so important. So if we have a need of anything, we can even come this morning and come to Him and say, Father, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need You. And you know, He's so ready and willing to answer us and to show us His love. So willing. You know, He's such a loving God that we can just come to Him with anything. Like a little child, right? We can come to Him with all our problems. There's no problem that's too big for Him. And He's never too busy to love on us, right? He's never too busy. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to confide in Him. He's the God of love. He loves us so much. There's anybody out there that needs to go, bless you. We're going to close the service, but all those that want to wait in His presence, we have that privilege and opportunity now. So just wait in His presence. Amen. So God bless you. Hallelujah.